The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Learn who rules over you, simply find out that you are not allowed to criticize. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted with my good friend, Dr. Eric Karlstrom. So let's bring him up right now. Eric, are you with us?
Yes, greetings, Andy. Here we are on our 65th program. I've been kind of counting them up and storing them on my website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. So, yeah, insane times, fantastic inspiring weekend we had in Washington, D.C. I can tell by looking at the videos. The speech by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is one of the most important and inspiring speeches I've ever heard. I hope it gets enormous listenership. But this issue that we keep coming back to here, and I certainly appreciate your fidelity and your commitment to exposing this horrific a program of what we call gang stalking, electronic torture, but it's also got many, many other names, including neuro warfare, hybrid warfare, et cetera. It's an enormous program. I think it's of equal importance, really, with the COVID, because it deals with a technology and a technique by which the elite can take us out one by one. If they want, they can take us out in groups with these enormous, very high tech technologies. I have got over 1,800 posts on my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website that I've been working on since 2016. That's after retiring from 30-year teaching career at three universities and also maintaining four other websites. This is far the biggest. And I've just put together a post which, again, tries to kind of pull all the pieces together of this extraordinarily complex program called 117 Posts. Here on this site, prove organized stalking electronic torture is neurohybrid warfare and state-sponsored terrorism against targeted civilians, elements, history, goals, and perpetrators. And I divide it into five sections. The first one, I have the testimonies of top military neuroscientists and academic neuroscientists talking about, you know, how the mind is the new battlefield, etc. And these are on these posts. People can look at these their lectures, read my transcriptions of them. Then I have the testimonies of a whole series of targeted individuals. And so one can see that, oh, they're talking about the same program. And then I go through the history of mind control with the section three. And then four, I actually talk the longest section. I have a big discussion of the perpetrators, who's pulling this off. Now, to go through this website, this post would probably require 117 posts, maybe 1 or 2 hours each, or three maybe, of time. Okay, so we're talking somewhere between, you know, 200 and 300 hours of commitment to understanding at least what I've put together from my best sources about what this complex program is. And, you know, I'm just using standard academic techniques of, you know, research. And the sort of thing that I did in my career, you know, writing papers and publishing and communicating, et cetera. Now, I also, of course, we've done featured tracks from my Lifeline project, which I put together fall 2019, also trying to summarize this thing. That's about 5 hours if you purchase that on my erickarlstrom.com website. And This has got 74 tracks that feature the highlights, again, of my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. And then, okay, that's 5.5 hours, cost $40. Maybe, you know, people are too broke or too lazy or too whatever. They don't want, or too in denial to want to go there. So how about a more concise summary yet? Well, right in the middle of the Lifeline Project is the 6 tracks of that I put together of the testimony of a targeted individual from Canada named Stephen O'Keefe. And in these 6 tracks, 40 minutes, he lays, and this comes from two of his web, or one of his websites, and most of which has been taken down, all of which really, he's got the website, but there's none of this on it. So let's listen to what the testimony of this Canadian TI is, targeted individual, Stephen O'Keefe. Brilliant, 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 courageous man, a real freedom fighter for everyone, freedom of thought, freedom of having a life. And he was systematically destroyed by the system. So let's, and he probably, you know, please check in, Stephen O'Keefe, if you're out there. I suspect he's a goner, or his mind has been completely taken over with EEG heterodyne. But let's listen to Stephen O'Keefe, please. Andy, unless you have a comment first.
No, just folks, Eric has worked hard on these. There are 6 presentations, so that's the bulk of what you're going to hear today. And so it's really going to be the testimony of Canadian targeted individual Stephen O'Keefe. So I'm going to play each one and then go back to Eric for any comments that either of us wish to make. And so we can get through all of them. So I think we're looking at about 40 minutes total in the audio files. So I'll mute us both, and here is part one.
From targeted individual as lone wolf terrorist. Introduction to the Op Catalyst website, which has now been removed from the internet. I am what is called a targeted individual or enemy of the state. Becoming an enemy of the state is quite easy. Uncover a few of its crimes and criminal conspiracies. Be as investigative and honest as you can be, and you'll be an enemy of the state quite quickly. In my case, after some years of investigative research, I uncovered existing mysteries about my own life while attracting the attention and interest of government intelligence services and their secret police. These government operations are clandestine, or secret, or classified. Things a government calls secret are many times very illegal, and activities a government classifies are sometimes outright criminal. You can measure a government's illegality and criminality in the vast number of documents it conceals from public view. Governments which target persons in the way they have targeted me are mafia states, meaning the government operates in secret as a highly evolved mafia. The way a mafia targets people is by surrounding the target mostly with others connected to or owned by the mafia state. Informants, government employees, snitches, lackeys. And the reason for this is because you are of more value to the government than you are a physical threat. In my case, I was targeted at a young age because of my artistic skills, observational abilities, and computer programming knowledge for what the Canadian and American governments have been testing on me, which is a highly sophisticated wireless surveillance and an unbelievably advanced intelligence and military technology. It goes under various names. I call it virtual telepathy, or VT. It's called remote neural monitoring and prompting, brain repatterning, and EEG fingerprinting. Basically, it's a way to wirelessly monitor anybody using the body's biometric displacement field and also computer interfacing the target's brain patterns. This transforms a target, that is, a responsive target, into a test subject for a super spy, soldier, and super policing program. Virtual telepathy, VT, is a bit of a parlor trick, being a combination of hands-free biometric surveillance and remotely prompting the human target to receive and acknowledge these prompts. It may seem like telepathy, but it's only one way. You are a targeted individual with no formal affiliation to the government, its military, police, or intelligence services. The reason for this is simple. This elaborately advanced surveillance technology and its clandestine handlers will drive you insane. It is a weapon, and it is also the most powerful of weapons, being invisible. Imagine wearing a set of wireless earbuds or Secret Service ear prompter, where you are receiving wireless radio instructions day and night, even in your sleep. To wake up, to go for a walk, to turn left, to turn right, to stop, to start, to nod yes, or shake your head no, like an obedient soldier. Now imagine receiving those instructions after taking off those physical headphones, and that these signals can reach your head wirelessly anywhere you go, like a radio. You can understand why intelligence, military, and police desire this immensely, as there are no communications which can be monitored or intercepted by a third party. It is private, discreet, and transmitted through an anonymous computer interface to the target's own brain fingerprint, which is theirs and theirs alone, exploiting the same wireless frequencies which are all around us. Adapting to this technology requires isolating the target and destroying their life and sanity in a complete personality disintegration, thereby infiltrating their brain. Canada has a history of this brain repatterning going back to the 1950s with the government and CIA-funded MKUltra program at McGill University with Dr. Ewan Cameron. Like every type of weapon, governments never stop advancing them. It took me a long time to adapt to the VT weapon I was and am subjected to, over 10 years. It also involved treatment with antipsychotics so that I could both endure it and remain sane with undisturbed sleep. The reality is that this weapon's development has been going on in various forms through the participation of the American, Canadian, Israeli, and British governments for quite some time, and they generally use prisoners, who are both helplessly and constantly monitored in jail cells. These governments, all the way to the top, want virtually telepathic soldiers, spies, and secret police, expanding the required wireless neural monitoring to global populations, whether they know about it or not.
Well, that was fascinating. My main notes off that is how the brains of targeted individuals, TIs, are wirelessly monitored, and Canada's history of repatterning people's brains. But Eric, is there anything that you would like to add?
No. Let's go on. This is the technology we've been talking about trying to understand, and I think this guy explains it quite well. Because he's lived it, and he has been one of the very, very few smart enough to figure out what's happening. Most people would not figure out what's happening. They would. It's a very sophisticated program of torture and murder, actually. I have a little comment or a little cartoon at the top of my 117 posts. A man and a little girl holding hands in a silhouette. "Daddy," she says, "what do you do for a living?" "I'm a gang stalker, honey. We torture Americans electronically in hopes they'll commit suicide." Now, isn't that sweet? This is our nation. This is reality. And yet 99%, well, I don't know what the percentage is that knows, but let's go on to the next one, please.
Yeah. And before we do, folks, just a little promo here. Eric keeps an archive of all our shows. He mentioned this is our 65th show together. And in each of our show posts on achshow.com, you'll find a link to his archive. So please bookmark that. You can get the very first one that we did all the way back in 2016, right up to the present day. So the entire archive of our shows together is kindly hosted by Eric on his website, so make sure you bookmark that. Here's the next part. Here we go, folks. Sorry, just try to play it. Let's play.
From Targeted Individual as Lone Wolf Terrorist, introduction to the OpCatalyst website, which has now been removed from the internet. In order to both deceive the target and the people around them that the person is insane, paranoid, delusional, and mentally ill, discrediting the unwitting target until they are no longer believed, while being of immense financial and technological value to a government's military and intelligence, multiple cover stories are essential. My cover stories were that I was a terrorist, since I analyzed black operation terror events like 9/11, a harasser, an army of police informants were directed by mobile phone to follow and provoke me, a white supremacist, since I was a harsh critic of Zionism and Israel, a hater of America, since I was critical of its wars, and a drug user and dealer, after being followed by the police's informant drug addicts who will lie about anything. I should note that I have never owned or been given a mobile phone or any device which had wireless communication functionality. One can be remote influenced to think and speak about any of these topics until the profiling and targeting campaign has an a la carte menu of options to cover up your being an enslaved guinea pig. Especially if you've been prompted in sleep to obsess over these issues, as if receiving instructions for a covert mission. My remote influencing was mostly about Jews, Israel, and Zionism, as speaking critically of them gets the golden stamp of Jew hater and white supremacist required for terror profiling. Psychiatric discrediting is the most effective way to deceive others that the target is not a victim and slave of this clandestine government program. The target says they are being monitored and followed. They are diagnosed with any number of mental illnesses. Then informants and government operatives smear the target as being mentally disturbed to everyone they come in contact with. Everyone wants a piece of this ultimate invisible weapon, as it is vital to the international and domestic terrorism racket. In my case, it is the Canadian government. Due to my campaign profiling, the Nation of Israel within Canada is also a major participant, as reiterated time and again by my government's statements of a relationship with Israel, quote, through fire and water, end quote. Of course, with the CIA funding brain repatterning experiments in Canada since the 1950s, the core involvement of the American government is a given. In fact, I grew up near a Canadian U.S.-British military radome, about a half hour's walk from my home, for 14 years. Some persons are being targeted with this technology, not only to monitor them, but so that they are in the right place at the wrong time for entrapment stings. The target being constantly followed, with layers of surveillance, discredited psychiatrically, discredited with smear campaigns, rumor campaigns, persons lying about the person being a harasser, compiles a dossier for the secret police. They want to fabricate some event around the target, a successful target. In most cases, that is a domestic terror event. Now, if you don't believe governments create the crises which kill innocent persons, I'll draw your attention to all the wars in history which have come before us, where one government or another created the conflicts which killed millions of us. The ruling classes which govern us have no setbacks in killing us off in droves, nor commanding us to their will, nor exploiting us as a compliant labor force to be taxed. We all know this, whether we like to admit it or not. Now the government has created an even more strategic way to do it through the terrorism racket, meaning that just one domestic terror event not only creates a sense of fear in the public, an immediate psychological dependence on their government for personal security, which would otherwise not exist, but it also creates a no-questions-asked policy to initiate the aforementioned wars, which kill us off just the same. Military campaigns, invasions, nation rebuilding, bombers in the air, drones in the skies, all with no questions asked, since the public wants protection from an unseen terrorist hiding in their midst. Just one domestic terror event can not only result in weapons and counterterrorism technology sales in the billions of dollars, but also immense income and funding for the mafia state itself. Military police, secret police, regular police, and law enforcement intelligence must expand to have the resources to keep the criminal methods used for this expansion from being discovered by the exploited public. This cycle is as deliberate as it is destructive. A ruling class's government, its police and militaries, must reorganize the world into their ideology to continuously sustain the authority which has already placed them there.
So there you go, folks. The benefits of domestic terrorism to the elites. Eric, anything that you'd like to add?
No, but just for those who haven't heard these tracks before, this is my music in the background. I've got a whole series of CDs on my ericcarlstrom.com website. I've always been a very avid musician, even though it really has not been my official profession. I was a professor of geography. But these are selected tracks of guitar and banjo and piano, mostly. And then I'm narrating the words of Stephen O'Keefe here. And like I say, I think he summarizes this program as well or better than anyone I've ever heard. So this is not everything. I've got another post on the that I think will be listed on this on the show notes, which is actually got the verbiage that I'm reading. It's called Mafia States Targeting Innocent Civilians. One, deceive and hide Jewish mob stalking culture, and two, TI as lone wolf terrorist, op catalyst, YouTubes, and text. So people can go on to that post, see a picture of Stephen O'Keefe, and read the words that I'm reciting here, plus quite a few others. So again, brilliant man, very much concerned about his safety. He may be a goner. He's a fairly young man. I think there's, millions of victims of this horrific system. So let's go ahead and listen, please, Andy.
Yeah, and there's going to be that post in the supplementary materials for today's show under that heading. Also, 117 posts here prove organized stalking, electronic torture is neuro-hybrid warfare, and state-sponsored terrorism against targeted civilians. Elements, history, goals, and perpetrators that Eric mentioned earlier. You'll be able to get that in this show post at achshow.com, and it'll also be in the huge archive of our shows on Eric's website. And as for Eric's music, I've got one of his albums that he sent me. It was very, very enjoyable, and it's something that I certainly listen to relax. So let's go to part three of Stephen O'Keefe.
From Targeted Individual as Lone Wolf Terrorist, the introduction to the Op Catalyst website, now removed from the internet. After doing exhaustive research and living for decades as a targeted individual, I'm afraid to tell you that most of the terror events the media outlets are feeding us are fabrications using wireless surveillance to turn targeted individuals into convincing terrorism scapegoats. Yes, even 9/11, which was probably the biggest live run of this surveillance weapon's potential, having turned people doing nothing on CCTV video into terror masterminds. As I make this recording on April 9th, 2016, it is now almost on a daily basis. Only governments rotted through with corruption would plan, let alone execute, events like these to further their invasions and warfare, with no foreseeable end in sight. Instead of cutting counterterrorism budgets when terror events occur, budgets are boosted, re-evidencing the racket. In the 15 years of sustained domestic terrorism after 9/11, not one North American, Israeli, or British political or military leader has been killed in a terror event. Allowing the state to invade our privacy and collect all the information it can, using the pretext of security, has resulted in more domestic terrorism in our lives than ever before, by design. Fabrications by intelligence agencies and the secret police, the illegal police, keep the general public fearful, psychologically dependent on its protector government, obedient, not speaking back, sticking to work, paying taxes, and not protesting. All so that the police, intelligence agencies, and government remain unchecked as they profit and benefit immensely from what they call a war on terror, or a war on anywhere or anyone. While the ruling class feeds us media and popular culture that the world revolves around us, and that government exists to serve our best interests, it actually revolves around them. If you've listened so far, you should see why I was targeted by multiple governments, and why they spent so much time, effort, and money to convince everyone I knew that I was insane and a threat to society. I understand the technology and the methodologies required by weaponized surveillance, remote influencing, and virtual telepathy, which has been used on populations without their knowledge for quite some time now. I also understand that the ability to record anyone, anywhere, means that governments already know where legitimate terrorists and criminals already are, and that they are pretending that they do not. This also means that private government communications have become insecure, and they have developed completely discrete communication systems, the likes of which I have been subjected to. This also means that everyone is now on their list and never coming off it. Government employees and assets first. If you read through my website, OpCatalyst, and review its multimedia, you will see everything from courier deliveries from a biometric surveillance company to my next-door neighbor, RCMP, living in my building doing counterintelligence gaslighting skits. Even if you don't believe exactly everything you read, see, and hear, you'll be unable to deny that there have been serious, expensive, and completely illegal government goings-on in my life for many years. They've ruined me professionally and financially, then discredited me personally, psychiatrically, and socially. They are recruited as sadists, gang mentality abusers, and are most likely collectively criminally insane. They target loners deliberately to bully them, ensuring the target is personally, professionally, and psychiatrically abused to a point where they have nothing good to say about law, policing, or government. It is as completely deliberate as torturers tormenting their victim until nothing but words of hatred and revenge come from their lips. Every provoked statement used against the lone and helpless victim who threatens the criminal many with the truth about their torture and abuses. This is what makes the contrived lone wolf profile so cyclical. The more they covertly abuse, provoke, and gaslight you that you're insane, the faster you'll be speaking against police, government, and whatever or whomever they've profiled you with. I'll tell you this, secret police especially love stalking and provoking, then psyching you out like wife beaters that it's all your fault. You'll be hating the criminal apparatus of the mafia state pretty fast, which spends immense amounts of money and effort on its public image, but is the very definition of a secret society. How they really sustain control is classified and secret, and those who uphold that secrecy exist in the tens of thousands of people who work in the military, the intelligence establishments, and the secret and regular police. So we're not talking about a few Illuminati or political Machiavellians or religious power players. We're talking about entire societies which use secrecy to maintain their criminal control of whatever they cannot enforce with publicly available laws. This ruling class is what the world exists for, despite movies, songs, books, television, and news media reaffirming to you that the common person is what the government exists to serve. There's no use asking the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, or the Toronto Police Service what's truly going on with me. They're all lying about it. Tribunal orders have already been fabricated from orders that they fabricated, when the tribunal itself would have known those orders were as fabricated as the ones they were fabricating. I've already endured two police-fixed hearings and a wrongful conviction, which the RCMP prevented me from overturning by shutting down my lawyer's downtown office. The money and influence backing this cutting-edge surveillance weapon, which major governments want to command, else be remotely commanded by, is limitless. Persons regularly around the target will be either made part of the team with a mafia's code of silence, or pushed away, just like I was isolated. Terrorism is the mafia state's ultimate protection racket, with unlimited profitability. Protected informants can be paid over $4 million each in Canada to set up other people and lie about it at hearings. Those paltry millions are a drop in the bucket compared to the billions in technology and weapons sales which come as a result of terror events. Our governing ruling class has profited and empowered themselves through warfare consistently in the past, and nothing has changed that to present.
How and why TIs are targeted. Eric, anything you'd like to add?
Well, this is phenomenal bullying. You know, the cruelty involved in this program is off the chart. It's you know, people can't imagine that there is such evil. And yet this, in fact, is our ruling class and our governing elite. It's criminal. And he calls it as it is. I've been trying to describe it. Like I say, we've talked about it many times. I think this guy does a fantastic job. And this becomes all the more important, as we know, since our Attorney General Merrick Garland last summer said, oh, there's so many domestic terrorists, white supremacist extremists, that we've now formed a new domestic terrorism unit. And they're about to radically expand this program to, you know, half the population in the United States, and thus, you know, create a controlled takedown of society. You might call it a controlled civil war. So, again, I would say this ranks right up there with the COVID as one of the greatest crimes against humanity in all of history. So, yeah, let's keep going. He's got some more insights for us here.
Okay, we'll go on to part four. Here we go, folks.
From targeted individual as lone wolf terrorist, introduction to the Op Catalyst website, now removed from the internet. Another reason for virtual telepathy is because even though I have what is called hard remote influencing as a targeted individual, it doesn't mean that soft remote influencing isn't happening on a global level at this point. This technology can influence anything. It can make you turn left if you were going to turn right. It can make you buy sugar if you were shopping for artificial sweetener. If you want to vote for one person, it can influence you to vote for another. Most importantly, what virtual telepathy can do is remote influence you to resist something, meaning that you can be wirelessly prompted to think about something and then remote influence that it is not a good thing to do, in combined association. That is what psychiatrists refer to as thought implantation in diagnoses of schizophrenia. And this is why psychiatry is so important in the cover stories required by governments which fund the psychiatric institutions themselves. If a targeted individual's remote handlers want them to go to a certain place, they will transmit the name of that place to the target's biometrically located brain. Remember, this is a computer interfacing with the EEG pattern, or signature of the target's brain. It is not a sound. It is an electronically interpreted suggestion transmitted through an EEG pattern in the target's spoken language. As if hearing the name on invisible wireless headphones, the brain creates an image of that place in hypnotic auto-suggestion. The mental images are triggered in the mind from memories, since the remote handlers know almost everything about their target. If this seems unreal or impossible, think of it this way. You are asleep in bed and having a dream. Suddenly, the image and sound of a fire truck appears in your dream. You snap awake, and a fire truck was indeed passing by your home. Your mind formed the image of the fire truck to awaken you, based on your memory's association with the noise outside. This is how remote influencing works. Whether you are awake or asleep, it can trigger recurring dreams and even the way you dream. When the handler does not want a target to go to a certain place or do a certain thing, the name of the place or thing will be repeatedly transmitted, followed by an EEG pattern with a negative association, like insecurity or fear. These EEG sampled emotions can be played like musical instruments, and this is why many targeted individuals feel they are communicating with a higher power or God. As before, associations with a higher power yield more diagnoses of mental illness, and one can see why there is a noticeable outburst in the diagnoses of bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and complex mental illnesses. This isn't to say mental illness does not exist and there is no need for psychiatry. On the contrary, the public being unwittingly influenced in this manner will create much more need for psychiatry and emotionally stabilizing medications. Remote influencing becomes an immediate danger when its psychiatric abuse causes the target to lose connection with reality in a psychotic break, a reflex response by the brain to external abuse. Many victims of torture or warfare experience these reactions, and in combination with remote influencing, it makes the target unable to maintain control while being targeted with EEG-patterned prompting. Virtual telepathy, military human targeting, weaponizing one's own body will eventually be sold to the public as something beneficial, something which allows, quote, the blind to see without seeing eye dogs, allowing a missing child to be found or any police suspect or domestic terrorist to be tracked with secret telepathic soldiers embedded within our society. Whatever will permanently monitor entire populations into an open prison yard which stretches both to and across a nation's borders. Governments have remotely tracked us and cataloged us and sorted us as persons of suspicion as long as technology has allowed them to. This first became revolutionary when international business machines created a punch card system for the NSDAP to organize their labor camps and classify the affiliation of the prisoners interned within. After World War II, the victorious Allies absorbed the Nazis' technology with German scientists through Operation Paperclip and readapted their experiments for North America, like Project MKUltra. Governments have since continued influencing our thoughts and monitoring the public in every way that they can, whether it's through our electronic communications, on foot with CCTV video, by satellite, by drone, by wireless mobile surveillance, or our regular patterns of bank card and email use. They do it. What is next? What are these huge and remotely located data centers being built for? Why are the GPS and geographic functionalities of all these wireless devices becoming more powerful? Who benefits? Well, obviously, the answer is not good for you. My being a slave, a psychiatric abuse victim, and most importantly, a live human experiment with the Canadian, American, Israeli, and British governments all involved, these governments would never test this on anyone they cared about, and require socially isolated people who live alone in apartments or condos where they can be surrounded by surveillance technology to contain and control them. You'll understand the need for the false cover stories to ensure nobody wants to be around you anyway. This is why the terror racket has created and heavily promoted the lone wolf profile, meaning that the person is isolated and the government, using immense amounts of money, technology, and persons in a code of silence, work at molding the isolated target into whatever they want. I've never had any intentions of being a terrorist, as these events only reinforce the sadists who ultimately benefit from such events. However, one can see why a cover story of a targeted individual being a terrorist is so essential, because once a target finds out what is happening to them, The most normal, healthy, and sane response would be to strike back at a government so criminally sadist as to track and bully people around using their own body and brain patterns.
I think it's a wonderful technique that you have, Eric, using these musical narrations to get such troubling information out. And it really is an excellent skill that you've developed. So I really enjoy playing these. Anything else that you'd like to add to this one?
Yes, the spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the concept, Andy. Well, you know, there is a tremendous amount of information in track four there. We've heard a lot lately about mass formation psychosis. Well, now we have an alternative explanation for it. The electromagnetic signals that are deliberately broadcast into entire regions of the population. So again, people might want to listen to that track again. I think, you know, if you're not familiar with this subject, it's mind-boggling. But again, it's consistent. What he's saying is consistent with all the other research I've done, and as well as many, many, many other very, very brilliant TIs. I've got just scads of books on this as well as articles. So, the whole idea of permanently monitoring populations goes hand in glove with the COVID contact tracers and the nanotech they want to put in our bodies to hook us up to the Pentagon cloud for the going direct reset, that is cryptocurrency going direct to our bodies. This is Satan's plan here. We're talking about the beast. We're talking about the Antichrist here. But he doesn't mention it in those terms, but I don't feel shy about that. So let's go on, Andy. Number five.
Just before we do, and we can overrun by a few minutes, you brought up mass formation psychosis. Now, obviously, this is most attributed to Dr. Robert Malone recently. But Jeff Rentz and Erika Kahn, they came up with additional information that wasn't highlighted so much from the famous Joe Rogan interview. And I think that Dr. Malone believes that there should be some sort of tracking and tracing system put in place, which completely goes against what I would believe. What are your thoughts on that, Eric?
Well, yeah, the mass formation psychosis idea, I guess, is traced to a legitimate professional in Italy, not Malone. Malone picked up on the idea, one of many. And Jeff Rentz and Erika Kahn are saying that in his earlier talks, Malone advocated for this contact tracing. That could be true. They cast doubt on his sincerity. And we know there's a lot of, kind of agent provocateurs scattered throughout, infiltrators, et cetera. I'm not in a position, he sounds very, very reasonable and committed to the cause of freedom. To me now, in the past, I'm not sure whether he was, I don't know, Andy, I can't say. He does seem to be one of our best advocates now. But that, again, could be a trick. We're living in a very, very tricky world, and I'm fooled all the time by these setups in my life. I mean, these are actually military missions. People are being paid for these things, these gang stalking psychological actions that are directed as military-style missions in our own cities, so cleverly done that, the average passerby wouldn't know what's going on. Our cities are war zones. We do live in an electronic battlefield. This is how the battle was being played out on some levels. There was a general in the Vietnam War, General Westmoreland, said, and of course, the Vietnam War was a testing ground for a lot of these weapons. He said in 1969, all future wars will be fought on the electronic battlefield. Think about that. That's 1969. That was a long time ago, 53 years ago. So, yeah, I don't know about the answer to your question. We have to be very, very wary and careful of who we trust now, because there are so many, intelligence operations that employ top scientists and have all their lives. So Malone may be in that category. We need to be very, very skeptical and weigh what he says. So I can't shed more light on it than that.
No, I agree, and I made the comment on yesterday's Limey show, you know, the speculation, is Vladimir Putin a good guy or isn't he? And I tend to err on the side that I think he is, but if I was given proof that he wasn't, I wouldn't be surprised. And that's the sad right. state of affairs that we live in now. It's really very difficult to fool one side or the other. So let's move on to part 5 of 6. Here we go, folks.
From targeted individual as lone wolf terrorist, introduction to the OpCatalyst website, now removed from the internet. The powers that be profit from domestic terror and warfare, and they will frame those who resist the mafia state as potential terrorists to eliminate them. The public is in the most danger it has ever been in, and if it comes to understand precisely why, wireless biometric monitoring has been established to target any resistance. This may be why I'm still alive to be the first to break the bad news. Those who remain free are free to move only in a cage of illusions. I also regret to inform that personal privacy is dead, and a continued lack of privacy eventually drives people insane. Nobody knows this better than those who developed VT, virtual telepathy, biometric tracking, and EEG brain pattern influencing. If anything, consider this recording an urgent public health and safety notice. Visit my website, opcatalyst.net, and its YouTube channel, Twitter feed, and photo, audio, and print evidence archive on Mediafire. There are many PDFs linked on the website itself, evidencing my years of abuse and entrapment by the RCMP, CSIS, and the Toronto Police Service. You'll find print materials, even audio recordings, of them fabricating evidence and lying to me, both personally and on the public record. One recording has a counterintelligence provocateur lying at an average speed of 7 times per minute. The compulsive lying is concurrent with the use of wireless surveillance technology to fabricate any law enforceable crisis. As if bringing a Hollywood movie production to the city streets, the secret police can deceive anyone from passersby to the regular police to the media who document the aftermath. As I have experienced firsthand for years, plain-clothed intelligence assets and paid informants are used as crisis actors and witnesses to sell the surveillance production as legal reality. It works, because as soon as lawyers and judges hear terror, they know their reputation and career get a major boost for doing whatever the police want done to the suspect, especially if a target has been diagnosed insane from the required counterintelligence stalking procedures. Layers of surveillance are already in place before any staged crisis is initiated. Many disasters were staged around me to see how I would react. A car crash at the Israeli embassy, a rape in a parked car, a takedown of a cabbie with automatic weapons the day after 9/11, a swarming of police officers as I walked alone at night, a fake rooftop fire, and even a faked movie set. The secret police want to see how you will react in a black operation, hoping you will run away to sell the resulting CCTV video as an admission of your own guilt. I never ran, and instead documented whatever setups I could, which will be released in the future through OpCatalyst. If something can be vocalized by the human brain, it can be sampled by the wireless brain-computer interface. Anything you say, no matter where you are, in bed, asleep, or awake, at work, no matter whether alone or in a group, any spoken secret, any romantic encounter, any closed-door political meeting, can be sampled as speech-to-text, requiring the need for massive data centers. The best way to recruit a super spy or cop, or frame the most effective government resistance as terrorists, is to seek them through all available intelligence on all available persons. The significant increase in mental illness diagnoses is most certainly related to the seeking of human targets most responsive to remote influencing. Someone's Propensity to mental illness may be another factor in the targeting process. My mother had a psychotic break after her divorce, but I was never told she had any mental illness until many years later. Was she targeted after leaving my father, who had once worked on an American military base? Again, I lived in a home with a Canadian, U.S., British military radome just up the hill. A target can be remotely infused with whatever is required to discredit or frame them, and the interests of the nation of Israel in this remote influencing technology extend to my long-term employer. My targeting really picked up when they were awarded a file involving a future attorney general of Israel and a failed hedge fund whose owner had fled there. The RCMP were corrupting my employer with the wireless entrapment set up at my contract site, a corporate sabotage directed at and through me. I never had any psychotic break before in my life, but once I dumped my handlers at work, where the RCMP were assigned, electronic harassment kept me sleepless until I went fully psychotic and into a highly suggestive state where I could be remotely influenced about anything, like repeatedly visiting the CBC building until I said something bizarre, which those tailing me could exploit as death threats and photography. Yes, everything sounds like criminal conspiracy when it is one. What I've described sounds incredible, but is no different than wearing an invisible set of headphones which receive silent and wireless instructions from military-grade technology. 50 years ago, psychiatry blamed such lofty beliefs on having a failed parental relationship, and I've had that too. As OpCatalyst has evidenced, all psychiatry can diagnose you as is mentally ill. As far as DSM-4 psychiatric classification, I am fully diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder. Many others in my situation may be as well. The advancement of gender neutrality, fluidity, and multiculturally society, as revolutionary as it may seem, is massed militarized remote influencing at work right now, breaking down and aggregating the cultural, political, and sexual identity of the world's minds, yet slowly enough not to be noticed as something artificial. This is why those persons breaking down personal boundaries and sexual identity have become so aggressive in doing so. Society appears to be freer in a mix of identities, cultures, and religions, while populations are enslaved more than they have ever been in history. While remote influencing is behavioral conditioning, virtual telepathy is no-touch torture and psychiatric abuse, breaking down the identity of the individual into wirelessly socialized networks of militarized obedience. Its prisoners will be born into open captivity, being both abused and influenced hands-free, not knowing there is another natural world to be discovered, a world without invisible captors.
That was really interesting, that part about how all the LGBTQ, all this sort of stuff has been essentially engineered by the military in targeting people's brains. That was very interesting, Eric. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, you know, he mentioned surveillance productions. Okay, so now we have to re-examine the Boston bombing, London 7/7 bombing, the Vegas shootings, the January 6th quote-unquote insurrection. All of these things, I'm 100% sure, Andy, are these kinds of spy productions. I know this because I am also a targeted individual, and I live inside a spy movie, a bad spy movie with remote handlers and assets and, you know, surveillance role players and crisis actors, people who are continually fooling you, trying to set you up. And, I mean, this is hell. This is hell. This is what hell looks like when you have humanity divided into predators and prey. And the predators are actually enjoying it to many extents. We can talk about the perpetrators later. The goons on the ground, etc. It's a culture. This is what they do is what they do. And the next number six here, it features a different post on his website, which has been scrubbed, unfortunately, called Deceive and Hide Jewish Mob Stalking Culture. And he describes the play-by-play. Now, the original post, he had several YouTube videos. He was, I think he got a degree in the arts from at the University of Toronto or someplace like that. Quite a very, very clever man. And he would film his stalking episodes, these street theater episodes, which are actually military-style missions. He would say, okay, this guy, you know, he's about 30 or 40, you know, bald-headed with a suit jacket. He's wandering through the aisles of this, restaurant or this mall or this shopping center, et cetera. And now they're ducking. He's ducking behind in the alleyway into a safe house, et cetera. I mean, he blew their cover. I mean, he busted them. And, of course, these have been taken down. But when they were up, I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I transcribed some of his dialogue. And that's also in this post that I've got there. I don't know. We won't have time to read it today. But it's in the Mafia States Targeting Innocent Civilians, Deceive and Hide Jewish Mob Stalking Culture. So let's listen to the next one, number six, in which he actually gets down to brass tacks on the perpetrators a little more.
Thank you, Eric. And here's the final part.
In his YouTube Deceive and Hide Jewish Mob Stalking Culture, Canadian targeted citizen Stephen O'Keefe states, with so many Jews involved with methods of deep psychological torment directed at me for so many years, it is impossible that these methods are not culturally Jewish, known by all Jews above a certain age. This culturally Jewish method of profiling and stalking someone to ruin would have existed before technology made it easy, perhaps explaining why Jews have been exiled from so many lands. The benefits to shadow governments are endless. Spy operations, police stings, drug dealing, money laundering drops, and black operation terror events, where an asset or target are surrounded by nothing but layers of backup in a pre-scripted crowd simulation. What gave away the core of this mob stalking method as culturally Jewish was that Israelis always positioned themselves in the lead to appear as a victim, with their terrain cues consistently ordinary per Mossad and Shin Bet's mottos of deception and concealment as a strategy. The culturally Jewish methods of deception and concealment are mafia tactics, as evidenced by the similarity in criminal activities between the American Jewish Mafia and the Israeli Mafia, the embedded Nation of Israel and Israel proper. Jewish American Mafia criminal activities include narcotics trafficking, racketeering, gambling, loan sharking, bookmaking, contract killing, diamond trafficking, extortion, weapons trafficking, fraud, prostitution, and money laundering. Israeli Mafia criminal activities include drug trafficking, diamond trafficking, racketeering, loan sharking, robbery, extortion, money laundering, hijacking, gambling, prostitution, bookmaking, weapons trafficking, and human trafficking. This video profiles the surveillance proficiencies of Jews and their Nation of Israel as Shin Bet, Mossad, and their Sayanim, or helpers, who profiled, mob-stalked, and ruined my personal and professional life, have declared themselves, quote, deceivers in hiding. Original Mossad slogan, by deception thou shalt do war, and deceit is essential in warfare, and Shin Bet slogan, defender shall not be seen. Jewish mob stalking works like this. Jews pass your photo and details around by mobile phone and conspicuously stalk you wherever you go. Once you start discussing it or taking their photos, they complain to authorities that you're insane and obsessed with Jews, a Nazi, white supremacist, or potential terrorist, and that you must be watched very closely, and the Jews will help. Helping means setting you up for ruination, which benefits the police state, which protects Israeli interests. The power of Jews over my host nation of Canada is irrefutable. So, CSIS, Canadian Security Intelligence Service, the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Toronto Police Service, and the Nation of Israel embedded within Canada expanded my targeting to develop a GPS terrain surveillance and queuing system. This involves portable biometric gear in backpacks, duffel bags, and luggage totes, which redundantly biometrically position you amongst plain-clothed police, spies, and their assets and targets, fed to and through satellite GPS. It's designed to move the target into a scripted surveillance sequence where anything can happen to them, like a mock collision to take them out while appearing accidental, with all immediate witnesses in on the black operation. If the target has been conditioned to EEG remote influencing, as I was, they can be led along a prescripted surveillance path, like a marionette, directed, misdirected, and delayed as needed using GPS-positioned cues and resists. The cueing system covertly deployed around me uses any object or mark on the terrain, other people in the biometric field, or even GPS-located aircraft in the sky. Domestic terror black operations send government officials, police, intelligence, and the military to Israel for counterterrorism training. There they can be covertly EEG fingerprinted and their unique biometric signatures cultivated by Israeli intelligence. Beyond detecting the international locations of plain-clothed intelligence and police for Israeli Jewish operations using GPS cueing systems, important decision makers can be covertly mob-stalked by Jews for life, yielding unlimited political blackmail. As Jewish deception and hiding are further finessed to fabricated domestic terror patsies and the events to go with them, more persons seek Israel for the best counterterrorism training. Jewish stalkers were so intent on always appearing to be a victim in anything I recorded, they gave themselves away as my core predators, despite so many government agencies serving as their camouflage.
Thank you, Eric. And before I bring you in, I'm going to throw in a couple of things here because I wouldn't say it's necessarily all Jews. And the reason I'm going to give you for that is some quotes by Viktor Ostrovsky, who you'll be familiar with, and I'm going to read from my book, The Synagogue of Satan. In 1919, his book By Way of Deception, former Mossad agent Viktor Ostrovsky reveals the following. 1. The Mossad recruits Arab agents to carry out missions. 2. Israeli agents are skilled at impersonating Arabs. 3. Mossad has an elaborate plan to vilify Iraq and involve the US in a war against it. He makes the following startling claims on the willingness of the worldwide Jewish community to assist the Mossad as Sayanim, which derives from the Hebrew word Laseya, which means to help, over and above any loyalty they have to the nation they are citizens of or resident in. On page 86, Ostrovsky states, "The Sayanim, a unique and important part of the Mossad's operation, Sayanim assistants must be 100% Jewish. They live abroad, and though they are not Israeli citizens, many are reached through their relatives in Israel. An Israeli with a relative in England, for example, might be asked to write a letter saying the person bearing the letter represents an organization whose main goal is to help save Jewish people in the diaspora. Could the British relative help in any way? There are thousands of Sayanim around the world. In London alone, there are about 2,000 who are active and another 5,000 on the list." In his 1994 book, The Other Side of Deception, Ostrovsky reveals that the Mossad maintain over 100 safe houses in London alone. They fulfill many different roles. A car Sayan, for example, running a rental agency, could help the Mossad rent a car without having to complete the usual documentation. An apartment Sayan would find accommodation without raising suspicions. A bank Sayan could get you money if you needed it in the middle of the night. A doctor Sayan would treat a bullet wound without reporting it to the police, and so on. The idea is to have a pool of people available when needed who can provide services but will keep quiet about them out of loyalty to the cause. One thing you know for sure is that even if a Jewish person knows it is the Mossad, he might not agree to work with you, but he won't turn you in. You have at your disposal a non-risk recruitment system that actually gives you a pool of millions of Jewish people to tap from outside your own borders. And on page 292, many of the youths trained at the summer camps in Israel later become Sayanim, and it certainly provides a strong group of willing helpers, well trained, undaunted by the lingo, who have already shown their ability to take chances. and this would explain the desire of the group Birthright Israel to offer free holidays to Israel for Jews resident throughout the world between the ages of 18 to 26 in order to, according to their official website, strengthen the sense of solidarity among world Jewry. And I'm going to move on to another page here that I've quoted from. Former Mossad agent reveals another book, releases another book, entitled The Other Side of Deception, in which he reveals the following on page 241. Yuri was on a calling-off period from the United States. What is the Mossad doing, giving humanitarian assistance to blacks in Soweto? I remember asking him. There was no logic to it, no short-term political gain, which was the way the Mossad operated, or any visible monetary advantage. Do you remember Nez Siona? His question sent shivers up my spine. I nodded. This is very much the same. We're testing both new infectious diseases, a new medication that can't be tested on humans in Israel, for several of the Israeli medicine manufacturers. This will tell them whether they're on the right track, saving them millions in research. What do you think about all this? I had to ask. It's not my job to think about it, was his reply. And this is very interesting, Eric, because, of course, Stephen O'Keefe is in Canada, and so was Victor Ostrovsky. 1995, October the 21st, former Mossad agent Victor Ostrovsky, who published two books exposing the activities of the Mossad, appears on a Canadian breakfast television show, Canada AM, with Israeli journalist Yosef Lapid, the former head of Israeli television, also on the programme via satellite link. Lapid had already called for the Mossad to seek Ostrovsky out in Canada and kill him for writing his revealing books. However, this time, Lapid states live on the show that as Israel's Mossad could not kill Ostrovsky in Canada without causing diplomatic incident, and I quote, "I hope that there would be a decent Jew in Canada who would do the job for us." Ostrovsky decides to sue in a Canadian court Yosef Lapid for inciting his murder and Canada AM for airing his incitement to the public. However, Ostrovsky is unable to find any lawyer in Canada who will take the case. Ostrovsky then has the last portion of his advance, $46,000, withheld by his publisher HarperCollins, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who's Jewish, against advertising. Ostrovsky informs HarperCollins that this was not in their contract, to which they reply, "Sue us." This collective harassment goes on. Ostrovsky's daughter, a television producer, is denied a job she has been offered at a Vancouver television station after its Toronto head office learns of her relationship to Ostrovsky. Ostrovsky's Canadian publisher cancels the publication of his new book, and sometime after that, his home is burned to the ground in an arson attack. And finally, I'm going to move on to my last quote from his book that I've put in my book. And that is from The Other Side of Deception, again, page 252. And he says, with regard to Israel's support of Muslim fundamentalism in the Middle East, supporting the radical elements of Muslim fundamentalism sat well with the Mossad's general plan for the region. An Arab world run by fundamentalists would not be a party to any negotiations with the West, thus leaving Israel again as the only democratic, rational country in the region. And if the Mossad could arrange for the Hamas, Palestinian fundamentalists, to take over the Palestinian streets from the PLO, then the picture would be complete. And I believe Hamas are in charge of Palestine to this day. So I just wanted to throw those in, Eric, because we've got a guy there who is Jewish, who's actually come out and exposed this information that otherwise wouldn't have seen the light of day. What are your thoughts on Victor Ostrovsky? Back to you.
Yeah, you know, I actually have a 5-minute video clip of perhaps that talk in which he talks about his London operations and how there would only be five Mossad agents in London. But to get things done, they would just go through the list of Jews, you know, who might cooperate. And he said 30% of them would.
30% of them would, so that's just under a third. Well, Eric, we are out of time, so I want to thank you for joining us today on a program entitled The Revelations of Canadian targeted individual Stephen O'Keefe. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. Until then, folks, have a wonderful day and bye for now.